You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is News Team correspondent Andrew Rainey, and I'm joined in the studio here today with Daryl Fisher, running for sheriff this year. Thanks so much for being with us, Daryl.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I wonder, first of all, if just as an introduction to our listeners here, how long have you lived in Buncombe County?
I lived here in Buncombe County. I actually moved over in 1985 when I first started my career in law enforcement with the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office. Moved back to my home county of Haywood for a short period of time, and then I've been here in Asheville, Buncombe County, full-time since 1989.
Why did you decide to run for sheriff's office here in Buncombe?
Actually, being sheriff has been a dream of mine since I was in the sixth grade. I remember growing up in my home county of Haywood, all the guys that I went to school with, I told them, I said, one day I'm going to be sheriff. Now, at that time, I thought it would be in my home county of Haywood. But things have worked out to where I now live in Buncombe and have been in Buncombe most of my adult life. And when Sheriff Duncan said that he was going to retire, I told my wife, I said, if I'm going to do it, now's the time. And this has always been a dream.
So this is really an opportunity, when opportunity strikes.
Absolutely.
What issues do you plan to highlight for this campaign?
My campaign is justice for all. And whenever I say justice for all, I truly mean for all. And justice for all is not just a campaign slogan. It really is my values and my beliefs. A sheriff obviously has to enforce the laws. But the things that I want to focus on and concentrate on, I want to make sure that we concentrate on crimes against persons. And this especially includes domestic violence offenses and also any sexual assault offenses. Those victims deserve a vigorous investigation, and we need to make sure that the individuals who are perpetrating those types of crimes are prosecuted to the fullest extent possible. Another part of that is the opioid crisis. In order to address that, I have a three-pronged process. We have got to have prevention. Where does prevention start? Prevention has to start in our schools. We have to partner with our schools and partner with some faith-based organizations to teach our youth the dangers of these controlled substances. Next is treatment. Folks who are suffering from addiction, we have got to make sure that we partner with any of the treatment centers or the counseling facilities to get these folks treatment. Now, I think that should also include folks who are arrested for crimes that they commit because they're trying to support their addiction. So whenever they're in our jail or detention facility, what better time to try to provide those folks with some treatment and some counseling than while they're there? And the third prong of that is enforcement. Folks who are profiting from the sale of illegal drugs, we need to vigorously investigate those folks and, again, prosecute those folks to the fullest extent possible. We've also seen the hazards that gun violence has. My platform for that is I do not think that we should have high-capacity magazines. I don't think that we should have access to any mechanism that makes a firearm fire in rapid succession. I also think that if an individual has a carry concealed permit, I think that they need additional training other than just the first initial 8-hour course. Also, the folks, whenever they take their carry concealed permit class, right now they're allowed to carry any firearm. I think they should only carry the firearm that they have trained with and that they have to shoot with in that class. I would also like to see some periodic training for those folks. Law enforcement officers have to maintain their certification every single year. I think we should also become more proficient. I'm a firm believer that proficiency with firearms will save lives. We also have to figure out what to do with the assault rifles. The guy in Florida that perpetrated those crimes, he was only 19 years old and perpetrated those crimes. And there's a movement afoot right now to raise the age to purchase a rifle of that caliber to the age of 21. I think that's a good idea as well. We've got to utilize training, train our schools what to do in the hopeful unlikely event one of these situations occur, but we've seen it happen way too often, so we can no longer say it will not happen here. We've actually had some threats here that our local school system has dealt with effectively and efficiently. So I think more training needs to be done.
Would the sheriff's office in those scenarios provide those trainings for local residents who are carrying guns, or perhaps in schools would officers connected to the sheriff's office be providing that education directly, or would that be advice on courses or financial support?
Definitely advice. The community college system and the North Carolina Training Standards Commission, they're the ones that regulate the carry concealed permits. But the sheriff's office should be heavily involved in providing advice, information, and training advice on how to get that done.
So creating relationship with
absolutely, absolutely. No one entity can do it all by themselves. We've got to have a partnership.
The mayor regularly noted last year on the campaign trail that no city in North Carolina is a sanctuary city because the counties run the jails. Would you support Buncombe being named a sanctuary county? And to what extent would your office work with ICE?
We have to provide certain information to ICE if someone gets arrested. Now, here's the good thing. If somebody is undocumented, undocumented is not a crime in the state of North Carolina. So as far as the sheriff's office getting involved in anybody trying to determine if they're documented or undocumented, that is not the job of the sheriff's office. Now, if someone commits a crime and they are arrested for that crime, there are certain mandated reports that we have to file with ICE. Now, whether or not they will come and take that person and put them into federal custody, that is not for us to decide. That's up for them to decide. It's been my experience a lot of times that they don't do that, so these individuals go through the state system and then they're let out. I do not think that we in the sheriff's office should be involved in determining whether someone is documented or undocumented.
Merely enforcing what is already
exactly. Exactly.
The open data policing website that tracks all traffic stops in North Carolina indicates definitive and clear racial profiling across all counties in the state. Sheriff, what are your plans to address this issue?
Part of my values and beliefs is I think that officers should utilize discretion a lot more than they do. Now, if you see someone committing a criminal violation, whether it be a minor violation or a criminal infraction, we do have to investigate those. Here are my thoughts on that. Just because you have observed a very minor crime does not mean that you have to take some kind of action. I want to utilize that encounter as a teachable moment so that we can work with the folks. My goal is if we can keep someone from getting heavily involved in a criminal activity, if we can do it in those initial encounters, I think that's a win-win for everybody.
So also creating relationship with people who might be involved with a similar crime in the future.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, if we can properly educate them on what they did wrong, the possibility of them not ever committing that crime again is high. So it's a win-win.
Some counties in North Carolina have adopted local policy revisions to reduce the disproportionate rate of African Americans and people of color being pulled over and searched, such as prioritizing regulatory stops and requiring written consent. Do you think these type of policy revisions are effective?
The thing about written consent is, and I understand where the folks are coming from, law enforcement in North Carolina historically have been able to use verbal consent. Now, what has happened is we have had some overzealous officers in the past who have utilized that to search vehicles where there was really no indication that anything was going on. We've got to make sure that the officers are trained sufficiently enough so that whenever they detect additional potential criminal activity, that they recognize it. Not that they're just simply searching for it and hoping that they'll find something. We've got to have a reason in order to search people's vehicles. We have got to have a reason to conduct those stops.
In your opinion, what are the most effective forms of accountability regarding racial equity within the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office?
If you look at the leadership of most law enforcement organizations, you do not see a lot of diversity. One of the things that I want to do is I want to change that on day one. I literally want to change the face of the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office. I want to bring in diverse ethnicities into the command staff and also the leadership positions of the Sheriff's Office. Now, where that's going to benefit the community is the community are going to be able to see people that mirror their image. They're going to see people that look like them in command staff positions and leadership positions. Now, that by itself will not instill trust between the community and the sheriff's office, But what a great place to start. A great place to start so that people see people that look like them in those leadership positions. I think that will also help us when it comes to recruit folks to come work for us.
Having that as a platform that people understand.
Right. Absolutely.
At the end of your first term as Buncombe County Sheriff, what is going to be different with the relationship of law enforcement and communities of color?
We are going to rebuild that trust between the sheriff's office, the people of color, whatever ethnicity that somebody is. We have got to rebuild that trust. If the community that we serve cannot trust us, then they're not going to call us whenever they see something happening or if they know something that happens. They've got to be able to trust us. I think a good way for us to be able to try to do that is through what I call the Sheriff's ACE team. I want to develop and implement an alliance for community engagement. I want to assign community resource deputies to specific areas of the county. These folks are going to conduct community meetings. They're going to meet with the public on a daily basis. I don't want them to be an enforcement entity. They're going to utilize those encounters in order to, again, rebuild that trust. We have got to marry the successes of the community policing initiatives from the past with 21st century community policing initiatives. Again, we've got to rebuild that trust.
Thanks for
absolutely
getting into that.
Yeah.
Do you support the construction of the new Buncombe County Jail?
Without seeing all of the data, I have to say no right now. I do not think that there is sufficient data to show that a new jail or a new addition to the jail is needed. Now, if data comes back and can prove to me or show me that we need one, I'll be the first to say, I made a mistake. The data is here. But I would like to see the data. I would also like to see if we can utilize my platform, my values and beliefs to see if we can reduce the number of people who are in jail. If folks, again, commit those minor crimes, jail is not the place for them to be. If someone has mental illness issues, the jail is not the place for them to be. We've got to figure out a way, our society, our community, our legislators have got to figure out a way not to incarcerate those folks.
Regarding some of those mental health issues, would you support a wider CIT or crisis intervention team training for officers to handle mental health concerns?
Absolutely. In fact, I think Asheville Police Department has taken the lead on that. Lieutenant Don Eberhardt is in charge of training for the crisis intervention training. He works with mental health agencies all across the county, partners with them, and brings that training to not just Asheville police officers, but all the officers of Buncombe County. We're now even seeing agencies from outside Buncombe County ask to come to that training. I'm talking Madison, Haywood, probation, and parole. The more people that we can get to take crisis intervention training, I think the better the officers can understand exactly what they're dealing with. Because if they see someone who appears to be aggressive, but there's just something that doesn't fit that aggressive profile, so to speak, officers can utilize a crisis intervention training to speak to this individual, find out what's going on, and get them some help.
Recently, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions said the sheriff is a critical part of the Anglo-American heritage of law enforcement to the National Sheriff's Association in Washington. Do you agree with Sessions' statement?
I have no idea what he meant by that statement, but it doesn't sound like it is a statement of racial equity. Sheriffs historically have been individuals that worked the rural areas of our country. We are seeing, especially in the past 25 to 50 years, we're seeing rural areas become more and more urbanized. Sheriffs have to move from that rural mindset to a more urban mindset. And I think that I have the experience in order to bring that to the Buncombe County Sheriff's Office.
According to the Bureau of Justice Statistics, there are high rates of recidivism among released prisoners. They found from a study done in 30 states that within 5 years of release, about three quarters or 76.6% of once incarcerated persons were rearrested. Is this a priority for the campaign? And how do you plan to curb these statistics in Buncombe County jails?
What the state has done the past several years is they have placed mandates on sheriff's offices. if somebody is convicted of a misdemeanor and they get prison time, it's the detention centers of the sheriff's office that has to house these folks. Now, in order to adequately do that, and in order to hopefully have some rehabilitation of those folks, we need to greatly enhance the programs that we offer. Now, what that answer is right now, I really don't know. But I've been talking to some folks in the community that are willing to come in to the detention center and provide different classes to folks. I've got a lady who has said that she would come in and do yoga. I've got an English teacher that said that she would come in and teach English. If we can bring more programs like that into the detention center, I think we can make that number drop significantly.
What else would you like people to know about your candidacy?
I am a second generation law enforcement officer. My dad was the was an officer over in Waynesville. He actually reached the rank of assistant chief. My career here in Buncombe County, bulk of it was with the Asheville Police Department. I was able to work my way up through the police department from patrol officer to detective. I was a SWAT team member, drug agent, sergeant on patrol, sergeant criminal investigations, where I supervised all the major cases the time that I was in there. I was a lieutenant over the drug suppression unit, also commander of our SWAT team at that time. My final position was as captain of the police department, where the first few years was as the support division captain. The last several was with as the patrol division commander. At that time, the captain was equivalent to the assistant chief at the Asheville Police Department. So I've got extensive executive experience. I've got extensive experience from the line level all the way through. In addition to that, as I was working full-time, I had the opportunity to go back to college. I was able to get my associate degree in law enforcement technology, bachelor degree in criminal justice, and master's degree in public affairs, all while working full-time and all while raising a family. Now, my spouse was a very integral part in me being allowed to go back to college. She was also a very big part in me being able to go to two executive leadership classes. Both those were 11-week courses. So I've got extensive experience. I've got extensive education, extensive training. I think that makes me the best qualified candidate to be Buncombe County Sheriff.
How can listeners learn more about your candidacy?
Absolutely. I've got two Facebook pages, R. Darrell Fisher and R. Darrell Fisher for Sheriff. I've also got a website, R. Darrell Fisher, the number 4, sheriff.com. And I've also got a YouTube site as well, R. Darrell Fisher for Sheriff. Please go take a look at those. I really want folks to do their research. I want them to do the research and make a very well-informed choice when it comes time for election on May 8th.
Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I very much appreciate it. Thank you.